الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وقال ولا تيأسوا من روح الله إنه لا يئس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون وقال في رواية ومن يقنط من رحمة ربه إلا الضالون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له وفي رواية التائب حبيب الله صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, we had been discussing the limitless mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His forgiveness, the vastness of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our limited sins, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns His focus on that servant whose heart is filled with remorse and regret with sins, irrespective of how much his sins are. We had mentioned three incidents in this regard. One was of that person who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 40 long years. But thereafter, with a heavy heart, a remorseful heart, a regretful heart, a restless heart, he mentions a few words in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he is completely forgiven. And similarly, that person that was banished from his vicinity and area, and after the time of death, he also, with a very heavy heart, turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him completely. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is advised that you should go now to the janazah, make preparation for the janazah of my friend. That person that was disobedient to that degree that he was not even tolerated in the community turns to become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They also, with a heavy heart, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we had also mentioned the incident of Kifl that comes in the hadith, that before he, the last night of his life, he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentions one sentence only, La a'asika Allah ba'daha abada. Oh Allah, I will not disobey you thereafter. And it is mentioned when he passes away in the morning, then it is written on his door, Inna Allah qad ghafara li kiflin or lil kifli. Or kama qala an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven him. So it is not these few sentences that were mentioned. In reality, it is the regret and remorse from the deepness of the heart, from the recesses of the heart that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One riwayat is mentioned, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is inquired, did you hear this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, An-nadumu tawbatun, that remorse and regret is reality tawbah? He says, yes, I've heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So actually the condition of the heart, when we disobey somebody, then what happens? Then the heart becomes in a condition where it becomes worried and is perplexed, and there is no ease and no chain in the heart when something happens. What happened to you? No, my wife is not happy with me, some incident took place. What happened to you? Something happened at work with the boss. What happened to you? No, my colleague, something happened between me, we had an altercation. What happens? The heart feels disturbed and the heart is distressed. So when a person is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our Khaliq, our Malik, and our greatest benefactor who has given us everything, how much more disturbed the heart ought to be. And when the heart becomes disturbed, then that is the beginning, and that marks the beginning of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making tawbah and istighfar. We find yet another incident in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of a person also from the Bani Israel. These first two persons were from the Bani Israel. This person also was from the Bani Israel. We hear this incident, but we do not reflect much upon this incident, that he had killed and murdered 99 people. Now, remember, to murder somebody, to take the life of somebody, is a very heinous and a very serious sin, very grave and serious sin in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, this person kills 99 people. And thereafter, this turning point comes into his mind and to his heart, and he feels he should be regretful. He regrets and he feels he should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for forgiveness. He goes further, he asks, he meets a person who is a rahib, who is a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inquires from him, is there any way for my forgiveness? This person says, no, there's no way for your forgiveness. He takes the life of this person as well. 100 people now he has murdered. He has taken the life of 100 souls, innocent souls, he has taken their life. But yet, thereafter his heart is filled with this remorse that now he should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent. And he asks and he is told to go to a certain locality where there are pious people, and he wishes to go to them and at their hands make tawbah and istighfar and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has not already asked for tawbah, but he has that feeling, that regret and remorse, and that sorrow and grief has come and gripped his heart. That is why he has changed his direction now from everything, and he has focused himself and he has turned his attention towards that locality, those people at the hands of which he will make tawbah and he will seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While he is en route, then he passes away. He passes away, it is mentioned in the hadith, that he turns his body towards that locality. This is the maximum that he can do. He hasn't reached that locality, so he turns his body towards that locality where he wishes to go and make tawbah and istighfar. And he passes away in this condition. Now, it is mentioned that the angels of azab, the angels of punishment, and the angels of mercy come. And now here there's a debate amongst them. One of them tells them, the angels of mercy say, that we have to take hold of this person. Why? Because he is gone. He was going towards the mercy and rahmat and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other angels say, no, they dispute. He had not really made tawbah and istighfar as yet. Then he should be taken by us, and he is our man, and he should be punished. It is mentioned that they are instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to measure the distance from where he was coming and the distance where he was going. He was coming from the area where he perpetrated the sin. If he was closer to that area, then he will be punished. And he is going to that area where he wanted to seek for forgiveness. He is closer to that area, then he will be forgiven. It is mentioned thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the land and instructed the earth, that land that was far away, that was further, that land said, Qarabi, or come closer, the Qarabi or Qarabi, come closer. And that land from where we had come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed it to distance itself away. It is mentioned that measurements were taken and he was one palm span closer to that earth where he wanted to go and ask for forgiveness, and because of this he was forgiven. Here we should bear in mind that he had not physically asked for forgiveness, but that turning point and that remorse and regret and that sorrow and grief had gripped his heart, and he had taken strides in that part towards forgiveness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness comes for this person. Yet in the hadith we find another incident. On one occasion, one sahabi comes into the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, wa dhunuba, wa dhunuba. He is expressing regret and sorrow upon his sins. He mentions this two or three times, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, qul, Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhambi wa rahmatuka arja indi min amali. That say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala these words. He repeats these words, and he says these words. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him to repeat it again. He says it for the second time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him for the third time to repeat it. He repeats these words. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, qum faqad ghafar Allahu lak. Stand up and go. Allah ta'ala has forgiven you. Imagine he comes in the condition that he is highly remorseful and regretful of his sin. And he's saying, wa dunuba hai, and alas my sins, full of regret and full of sorrow. And this is actually what is intended or what is required of us, of a mu'min, that he should be concerned about his sins. Today we are concerned about everything else except sins. Person is concerned about his wealth and is concerned about his property, etc. We ought to be concerned, definitely. But what is the thing that is most destructive? It is the sins that will drive us away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the sins through which calamities come onto the face of this earth. It is through the sins that we find so many things happen in our life that we're not even sure. Even our rosy is decreased, our life is decreased. Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi has written a complete book, Jazaul Amal, wherein he mentions the detrimental effects of sin. So here, this is the thing that we should be concerned about. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentioned one riwayat that a sin to the mu'min is like a mountain that is about to be falling on him. Can you imagine a person is sitting and there's a mountain behind us here about to fall on me? How scared and how concerned and how worried and how distressed and how much anxiety and how much difficulty there will be upon me because of this grief and this worry of this mountain falling upon me. He says that is the reality of sin in the eyes of a true mu'min. He is so much concerned about his sin, about the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, because we find the proliferation and we find that sin is so dominant in our society and community, that sinning carries on from morning till evening, and we're not even conscious, it doesn't even prick our conscience that this is a sin that's perpetrated by us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conscientize us about the sins and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to a person who is a fajir
And a disobedient person, to him Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, the sin is like a fly that is sitting on the nose. A person just moves his hand and the fly flies away. In other words, he's hardly concerned, not concerned in the least about the sin that he carries out and that is perpetrated by him. He treats it almost lightly, so lightly, like a little fly that is sitting on his nose. It doesn't concern him, it doesn't bother him, it doesn't worry him. So this sahabi comes in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this condition. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him to repeat these words. What is the meaning of these words? Oh Allah, your forgiveness is more vast, is more spacious than and more extensive than my sins. Your forgiveness is more vast and much more spacious than my sins. Wa rahmatuka arja indi min amali. And your mercy, I have more hope in your mercy than I have hope in my actions. I have more hope in your mercy. Oh Allah, your mercy will come down to me. I have more hope in your mercy than carrying out good actions than I have in my actions. And Rasulullah s.a.w. tells him to repeat this three times. And thereafter Rasulullah s.a.w. tells him, stand up and go. Allah has forgiven your sins. The ulama-i kiram mentioned here, firstly, there are a few things that had gathered here for the sahabi that through which that became the means of his forgiveness of his sins. Firstly, was the sorrow and grief. As we mentioned, an-nadamu tawbatun, that the sorrow and grief had gripped his heart. Secondly, he had confessed, which is also a very important part of getting forgiveness. Inna al-abda iza atarafa thumma taba taba Allahu alayhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that when a servant, he confesses his admission of guilt now, he says, I am guilty of the sin, and then he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawbah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him. It is the trait and characteristic of shaitan, not of Bani Adam, to acknowledge his sins and to confess to his sins. When shaitan was told about his sin, then he began to justify his sin in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in fact, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. So here, the characteristic of a mu'min is to confess to his sin. This has also become hard in our society because of pride. Person does not accept the sin. He tries to justify it by all means. This is also not proper and against the teachings of Allah, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam conscientizes us here and says that when a servant acknowledges his sin and confesses to his sin and then he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah, because you should remember that a person can never turn to tawbah if he does not confess to the sin. If he feels he's justified, he'll continue his entire life. But the moment he admits the admission of guilt, then obviously a person turns to Allah and seeks forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the second thing of the sahabi. The third thing here of the sahabi was this, that he was conscious of the vastness of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was conscious of the vastness of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the mercy of Allah and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much more than my sins. And fourthly, he was hopeful for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had great hope. Arja indi bin amali wa rahmataka arja indi bin amali. Oh Allah, your mercy, I have more hope in your mercy. And fifthly, he had sought the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why he had come in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and confessed to his sins. He wanted to cleanse himself of the sins. When these things were found in him, then Allah, Rasulullah s.a.w. gave him the glad tiding that your sins are forgiven and you are completely wiped out of your sins. And like this we find, there are many incidents in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and history bears testimony that when a person comes with a regretful and a remorseful heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then irrespective of the amount of sins that are there. One hadith of Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, what a beautiful hadith to just show to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the amount of sins that a person carries out, that doesn't affect the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To forgive a minor sin and forgive a major sin is no difference in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To forgive an ocean full of sins and to forgive a few sins makes no difference to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, as we know, inna Allah, inna Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa. Oh Allah, you are most forgiving and you love to forgive. You love to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves forgiving a person. And this is irrestrictive. It is not restricted to 10 times or 5 times or 7 times. But a person can continue. If he continues sinning, thereafter he keeps turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously the intent should not be that I'm asking for tawbah and istighfar now and I'm going to continue sinning. No. Every time he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes a solemn pledge and a deep resolve in his heart that I'll never commit this sin. Then out of his human weaknesses, he falls into sin again. Then again he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is forgiven all the time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One hadith that Anas radiallahu anhu says, he heard Rasulullah s.a.w. mentioning was this, that Rasulullah s.a.w. said that قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the human beings, يَبْنَ Adam, addressing me and you, and every human being that comes into the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses him and tells him, إِنَّكَ مَا دَعَوْتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي رَجَوْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ فِيكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي, that as long as you turn to me in making dua and supplication, and you put your hopes upon me, you have hopes upon me, then غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ فِيكَ, what despite, irrespective of what amount of sins you will carry out, then لا أُبَالِي, I will forgive you, and it does not concern me, the amount of sins, the magnitude and multitude of sins that you will carry out does not concern me. As long as you keep turning towards me, دَعَوْتَنِي, and make dua to me, Muhaddiseen mentioned what is mentioned by dua here, dua maghfirat, seeking my forgiveness, and you have hope upon me that I will forgive you, then irrespective of the amount of sins that you carry out, I will definitely forgive you. This is the first call made from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a proclamation, a pronouncement. The second one is this, Ya ibn Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك ولا أبالي, that O son of man, O son of Adam alayhi salam, that if your sins reach up to the skies, reach up to the clouds of the skies, or reach up to the skies itself. In other words, your sins are given forms. And imagine from here, right up to the skies, right up to the clouds of the skies, or right up to the skies, how many and how much the sins of that person are be. And Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي, and then you make istighfar. You made istighfar. Commentators mentioned istighfar was already mentioned there in the dua. What is meant by istighfar? Ibn Hajar Makki rahimullah mentions, what is meant here is you sincerely repent. You ask for forgiveness and you sincerely repent that you will not go back to those sins. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, غَفَرْتُ لَكَ, I have forgiven you, وَلَا أُبَالِي, and it does not concern me, does not bother me that your sins have reached up to the skies. Doesn't end there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes another proclamation and pronouncement to the people. Ya ibn Adam, O ataitani bi qirab al ardi khataya, thumma laqitani la tushriku bi shay'a, la ataituka bi qirabiha maghfiratan. That O son of Adam, if you come to me with the entire earth full of guna and sin, can we imagine the entire earth? As we mentioned, the length of the earth and breadth of the earth, some people have mentioned 24,000 kilometers, some people even more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best how vast it is. You fill up the entire earth with sins and with faults, and you come to me, and then you meet me in such a state that you do not ascribe any partners with me. Other words, you are steadfast upon tawheed, upon the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no shirk in your life, and you come to me in that state. La ataituka bi qirabiha or bi qurabiha, both ways can be recited. You come to me with the earth full of sins. You come to me with the earth full of sins. لا أتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. Then I will come with the earth full of forgiveness for you. Can we imagine? And who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني. Allah غني حميد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely independent, completely free, and doesn't bother Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our sins make no difference to the magnanimity, to the majesty and glory and grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Me and you are the ones that will be destroyed. Allah Pak save us with the sins. It is insan that becomes the means of his destruction, means of his punishment, etc. For this insan, the sins. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so generous, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the proclamation to us that even if your sins come up to the skies or fill up the earth, and you come to me and ask me for forgiveness, and you do not ascribe partners to me, then I will forgive your sins. From this we can gather how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to forgive the servant, wishes to forgive me and you. In fact, it is mentioned that every morning at the time of tahajjud, هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرُ لَهُ, is there any person that seeks forgiveness? Proclamation is made from who? From the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's completely free of one, completely independent of the entire creation. To who? To me and you who are dependent. And this proclamation is made out. Is there anybody that seeks forgiveness that I may forgive him? The night of Shaban, 15th night of Shaban, and those nights where you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy come down, proclamations are made from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is there any person seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him. And if you look in the Quran, you will find verses upon verses, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu tubu ila Allah afala yatubuna ila Allah afala yastaghfiruna Allah. Did the people not afala yatubuna ila Allah wa yastaghfiruna? Did the people not turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make istighfar? توبوا إلى الله أيها المؤمنون جميعا لعلكم تفلحون. verses upon verses showing us that we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Him for forgiveness, and also the incidents of the previous nations, how they had told the nation, Istaghfiru Rabbakum innahu kana ghaffara, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Shu'aib alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, different nations had mentioned to their people, different anbiya had mentioned to their people, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all giving us a lesson and moral that our solution is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him for forgiveness. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us, firstly, to identify sin, to recognize that this is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, Allah ta'ala create the remorse and regret. And as I mentioned, this will come with deep reflection on the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and upon our insignificance. As I mentioned, when we disobey our boss, what happens to us? We disobey the teacher, we disobey somebody senior to us, then we feel agitated and irritated, and we feel our heart is not at ease. So how can a person's heart be at ease if he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most supreme being, the person that we are needy of every moment and every second of our life? How can we be at peace? This seems, some ulama mentioned, is because we are unaware of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why a person disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thinks nothing about it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillah.